Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings once again. Welcome to this Wednesday, July 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and we're going to return immediately back to the discussion that we left off on Monday. Yesterday I got into something else, talking about eschatology and prophecy and sensationalism, but I'm leaving that behind and going back to the topic that we were talking about on Monday, namely, how did Judas Iscariot manage to fool the other disciples? Because if we would understand how he fooled them, then number one, we might be more discerning about people that appear to us to be genuine believers, but in fact are not, might help us to have a more Bible-centered way of evaluating things. And number two, and this maybe ought to be number one, the first application ought to be to our own heart, to be sure that we are not manifesting these same kinds of characteristics in our life that Judas manifested in his, and that we're not looking to the wrong things as the basis of our assurance of salvation. Here's the evidence that I'm saved, and what we're pointing to is nothing more than what Judas had in his life, and he was, as we know, the son of perdition. Jesus talked about him as the son of perdition in his high priestly prayer in John 17:12, and so we are talking about how did this son of perdition fool the other disciples, and we've mentioned a couple of things, several things actually. Number one, by his outward devotion, he appeared to be as devoted to Christ, at least externally, as all the others. Number two, by his exceptional commitment, he not only did all the things that the others did outwardly, but he even did some things that the others didn't do. He was the treasurer of the group. He took on an extra assignment. I don't know if he volunteered for it or if he was asked to do it by Christ, but my inkling is, and this is only my opinion, that he volunteered for it. Now, Christ knew who he was, and Christ had to agree to it. Christ had a purpose in that. But nevertheless, because of his covetous heart, because of what he really was, a thief, he wanted to be treasurer. That's what he wanted. That's what he coveted. That's what he was hoping to do. And so he managed to get that assignment, which appeared to the others, that he was more devoted even than some of the other disciples. They chalked that up as being exemplary commitment, when actually all it was a manifestation of his covetousness, his avarice. Now, folks, you don't have to be a thief to take extra assignments in the church or in other areas of Christian service for something less than perfectly God-honoring reasons. Sometimes it's just a matter of pride, of prestige, of wanting to be well thought of wanting to have a lot of influence in the church. In our church, we have learned over the years to be concerned about two kinds of people, two kinds of members, I should say. And we do make a distinction between attenders and members, a very important distinction. In a day when most churches make no distinction, to make any distinction seems to be, to some people, an overly sharp distinction. But I'm not at all convinced that it is an overly sharp distinction. I think it is a necessary distinction. And in our way of doing things, basically, non-members are not allowed to be involved in ministry assignments in the church. The work of the church is to be carried on by the members of the church. So you are welcome to attend, and we welcome people warmly, make them feel at home, but no, we will not allow non-members to sing in the choir or to play the instruments or to teach a Sunday school class or even, this is surprising to some people, keep the nursery. This is what members do. Members serve the Lord. Members serve the Lord in this church, And in order to have a service assignment in this church, you need to be committed to this church. You need to be committed to the Lord through this church. Now, as I say, that probably sounds just draconian to many of you. And I'm sorry if it sounds that way, but I'm convinced that if it does sound that way to you, it is not because what we're doing is actually draconian. It is because of the culture and the climate of the day in which we live, in which there's just such an anything-goes attitude that nobody else ever does that. I can remember years ago when a couple came to our church that had a lot of musical talent, and they had left another church in a huff. And this man told me that one of the reasons he left the other church was because they acted like they owned him. Well, I actually talked to the pastor of the other church and found out that their practice toward these people was far less strict than ours. They had actually allowed them to sing in the choir, had allowed them to do special music, even though they had not become members of the church. Without these professing Christians, and I really don't doubt that they were God's true children, only God knows that. I don't make that kind of judgment. That's not my judgment to make. That's really not what I'm talking about. But the Bible does have a way for Christians to testify of their faith in Christ. There are certain things that Christians are to do, and the church, which recognizes that it cannot see the heart, it cannot judge the heart, it has no business doing that, it is not attempting to do that. Nevertheless, the church is instructed to deal with people on the basis of things that we can see. We can't see the heart, so what's the ramification of that? To many people is, well, you can't see the heart, therefore, you are to accept my kind of offhanded Christian profession at face value and never question it in any way. But our attitude is, and I think this is the biblical one, no, we can't see the heart. That's why God expects you to give us your testimony of conversion and to make your commitment to the church, come under the care of the church, come into the fellowship of the church, come under the discipline of the church. No, we can't see your heart. And that's why it's all the more important for you to place yourself in a position where you demonstrate that you are a sincere, humble, Bible-believing Christian who is willing to commit yourself to the Lord and to His church. You are willing to be in an accountability relationship with a body of believers. You are manifesting the things outwardly that express the true intention of your heart. We all recognize that it's possible for people to do these things outwardly without it being real. That's what I'm talking about right now, Judas Iscariot and his outward devotion and his exceptional commitment. But like I said, there are two kinds of people in our church that we are concerned about. That's how I started talking about this. Number one is the person who just refuses to get involved in anything. The attender who will not become a member. We can't see their heart, but we have to be concerned about them. What is missing in this person's Christian faith that they are unwilling to commit themselves to the church in a healthy church relationship as described in the Word of God? They refuse to do that. Or the person who becomes a church member but is unwilling to take any kind of a work assignment in the church. And we have very few members in that category, believe me. We have, thankfully, over the years, developed a culture in our church that basically says every church member is supposed to be an active, serving church member. Every church member should have an assignment. And virtually all of our people do, unless there are health reasons and other extenuating circumstances that make that impossible, which, of course, we all understand. But the kind of people who attend church and claim to be a Christian but will not join the church, or the kind of people who join the church but are not willing to take any kind of an active involvement of any kind of assignment of the church, we're concerned about those people. There's something missing. We can't say that they're unsaved. They may be saved, but something's wrong. That's not healthy Christianity. But do you know who are the other people that we're concerned about? The people who want to get actively involved in everything, who want to be overcommitted, who want to get overextended. Now, we have some principles, some policies in place to try to prevent that. You can only have so many assignments. You can't have more than two at the most. We prefer only one classroom assignment, at the most two, and depends on what they are. Because if you get involved in, I mean, you're serving in the nursery, you're serving in Sunday school, you're serving in this ministry, you're serving in that ministry, you're doing all of these things. Well, when are you worshiping? When are you listening? When are you learning? When are you being taught? When are you being fed? You want to be involved and active in all of these things, but you don't seem to have any sense of needing to sit down and refuel. You don't seem to have any sense of balance or pace here. That the only way to serve the Lord effectively is if things are well balanced in your life, and you've got to have a good measure of intake before you can profitably be involved in output. And so we get involved, we get concerned about people like that, who, and here's the whole point of what I'm talking about, to many people seem to be the healthiest Christians in the church. Wow, look at their godly zeal, look at their commitment. Why, they're just willing to do everything. I don't know how they do it. Well, I don't know how they do it either, and they don't do it well, but they seem to. They're putting up an appearance of exceptional Christian commitment, and again, only God knows their heart, but many times the problem, the real nature of their heart is not that this is a reflection of God-honoring commitment. Many times it's a reflection of their own pride, how they want their image of how they want to be thought of in the church, their feeling that they have, that they can do all of these jobs better than anybody else, their desire for position, their desire for influence. It can be an awful lot of carnal things, a lot of unhealthy things, a lot of things that have nothing to do with commitment to the Lord. And what are we talking about? Our subject today is, how did Judas fool the other disciples? And this is one way he did it. By having not only the same outward devotion that the other disciples showed, but even exceptional commitment. He was willing to take on additional assignments that others weren't willing to take. And they marveled at that. And when Jesus identified Judas as the betrayer, they didn't think that it could be Judas. They were fooled by Judas's devotion to such an extent that they were more willing to question Christ's statement identifying Judas as the betrayer than they were to question what their own eyes had seen. Talk about believing sight instead of faith. Faith believes the word of God, even when it doesn't seem to square with what I see and what I've experienced. And doubt does just the opposite. I can't believe that this is true because here's what I've seen, here's what I've experienced, here's what I know. Yes, but you don't always know what you think you know. And you aren't always interpreting what you see and experience correctly. And how did Judas fool the other disciples? Well, he fooled them by exceptional commitment, but the fact of the matter was his commitment had nothing to do with a heart commitment to Christ. It was just earthly ambition. It was just covetousness. It was just desire for prestige and for position and for power that was driving him. It had nothing to do with a heart devotion to Jesus Christ. Examine yourselves, dear friends, to be sure that you are truly a child of God. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His peace.